Views expressed on the following show may not be those of the guests, hosts, or WSPN. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless written approval is given. Now, the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and Lynn Goodness.
Good morning, and welcome to Talk Saratoga. Unfortunately, Lynn isn't with us this morning, but we are going to have a great show anyway. We're going to get right into it, as a matter of fact. I want to welcome Wendy Libertor. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning,
and
Rick.
You are our occasional guest. You're not just a one-time shot.
That's correct.
Because we like to get some... good information, and you are one of the best reporters in the area. I will tell you that. As a matter of fact, I've got some results of the exit poll in last November's election citywide, and the results, there were two parts to the results. The one is that in the exit poll, 70% of Democrats voted yes, and that 75% of those that answered the exit poll said that the Times Union was their best paper to get the local information from. And of course, I don't know who the reporter is that covers the local information, but I think
that's
she's right across from you, and that's Wendy. And I do have to say that she is a phenomenal reporter. I mean, she really... I don't know. I started to know Wendy through the charter change, and I just found her reporting of that to be spot on, even if it wasn't something that I agreed with. She, and I think all reporters do this, Wendy, you have two sides, and both sides are passionate on their view, but the reporter's job is to give the truth and... make it, you know, have it come out right, and it may upset both sides, but that's your job.
Right. I try to get both sides of the issue. Of course, often I'm accused of bias, but when I hear it from both sides, I know that I did find my way into the middle.
And that you're doing your job.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. No, I agree. I think... if both sides are unhappy, or not unhappy, but if they don't think, you know, you gave them a little favoritism, that, you know, you were a little biased, but there's so much on the media today, and I mean, it's the media has gotten, I think, a double-edged side today with social media. And then our print media. Social media, I think, can be a little bit crazy.
It is.
There's no way to check their facts. I mean, usually the fact checkers are biased one way or the other also.
Right. And people feel free to trash each other.
Yeah.
That you would say things on social media that you would never say to a person.
No. And anonymous blogs. I mean, anonymously.
Yes.
People say the worst things, and they get away with it because, you know, they won't put their names to it. So, but no, I think print media myself is the way to go. I still enjoy reading my newspaper, and I just can't read it online. It's just too much. I'd rather read it in print and then go back to an article later.
Thank you for reading.
Yes, really. And anybody out there, you know, just get the newspaper. And anyway, Wendy, there's a lot of stuff going on in Saratoga. I know we're coming up to summertime, and it'll kind of slow down a little bit. And then we'll just have huge parking problems and tie-ups with all this construction going on. I mean, this is terrible. Every road you turn on is you have to play like Donkey Kong, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
It's terrible. But one of the things that we had a charter vote last November for a new form of government that got turned down by 10 votes. And right away in January or February, the mayor that was elected, and it's funny because all the candidates that ran for changing the charter won, even the candidates that were against changing the charter, even though they were heavily favored, lost.
That's correct.
So it's really a crazy thing to wrap your head around, although one of the commission members had told me that so far different people have heard, and I've heard this many times, that they figured there's probably 300 or 400 people that said they wanted to have the change of government, but they didn't want a city manager.
That's correct, because the manager is one step away from being from the people. I mean, when you elect somebody, you handpick that person. Well, you don't handpick, the committee does, but
right, your council picks them.
Right. But so they didn't. Many people voted against it because they did not want a manager. They wanted a strong mayor.
Strong mayor. Now I say to the people that tell me, I said, "You fool." The hardest thing to do is to get rid of this form of government, and we're so close that if the city manager didn't work, you know, 4 or 5 years down the line, then we push for a strong mayor. And I don't think you would have a problem in doing that if the manager wasn't doing their job, but at least we would have gotten rid of this form of government.
Right.
So the mayor appoints a commission, and why don't you go on and from there and tell us what the commission is made up of. And
the commission is made up of the commissioners, and who are the city council members, minus the mayor. So we have the four commissioners, three of whom were pretty vocal, very vocal, against any change within the city, you know, preserving their power. So they make up the commission, their deputies make up the commission, and the deputy mayor makes up the commission. So they are now trying to decide how to update the charter without changing the form of government, which means they themselves are examining their own power, deciding how to either mainly boost their power, I think. There are no citizens on the committee. So it's basically up to the people who are already in power how that power will be.
And their deputies are also...
Yes, their deputies, and you have to say those deputies work for their commissioners, so therefore they will not be independent voices on that charter commission. They will be probably supporting whatever their commissioners believe they should support.
Yeah. Now, to me, I don't think that's really a transparent commission, because you've got employees and their bosses sitting at the same table deciding the fate of where the power is diverting from. I know the finance commissioner is trying to obtain a lot more power from the mayor to her department.
Right, particularly the capital budget. That means all the city projects, you know, from the Geyser Road Trail to any improvements to the water district. She's trying to get a handle on that. And she's saying that, you know, she should have this power because it's part of the overall budget. But right now it's in the mayor's office.
But you see, I think under this form, there are no checks and balances whatsoever. I mean, the only check you have is at election time, and when you have three people run unopposed every 2 years, it's really not a big check.
Right.
But I having one person controlling everything like that, and I mean, she said many a times that she's the one that makes the decisions because she writes the checks. Well, that's not a healthy attitude to have if you then have control of the capital budget, which includes every project that's going to go on in the city.
Right. And the reason they gave it to the mayor at one point, this got switched around, I guess, a couple of years ago when Ken Klotz was mayor, was because the mayor should have a vision for the city, and that vision includes the capital projects.
Mm-hmm. So, now, because Ken came from being a finance commissioner and being elected mayor, so he could see what that finance commissioner's post had and probably shouldn't have had going out of it. You know what I mean?
Right. But Ken, interestingly, was one of the only past mayor who was against any charter change.
Mm-hmm.
But he was at a recent charter meeting saying, why are you making these changes? I don't like these changes. So it's interesting.
I know. It is. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
I think he didn't want any changes at all and right. felt that this commission, which does not include the mayor, is weakening the mayor's role in the city.
Yeah, well, his was the last, what do you want to call it, charter that passed. I mean, under his, the charter was updated under his, so he probably doesn't want to see it change because that's his legacy.
That's true, and it hard. Gave him more power.
Right. Well, the mayor's position before then was only marrying people, showing up at official functions, cutting ribbons. I mean, it was just kind of an honorary post. But I think as the city grew, I mean, you need a mayor to be involved in more things because you have to go down to the Capitol. You have to get money for the city. There's a ton of things that a mayor has to do. So really, the job should have been changed to give the mayor a little more authority. Now, I know they're trying to fight to get the appointments away from the mayor, too, aren't they?
That's right. They're saying now that all appointments should be through the city council. For example, the city attorney is one of the things they're saying should be voted on by the full council. And interestingly, the council is headed up by the current city attorney, who was appointed by Joanne Yepsen.
Right.
And so the city attorney was appointed to head up this council, and he basically his salary was doubled like immediately thereafter.
Yeah, that really shocked me, because one of the things that the majority of the council, basically the three commissioners who used to be very vocal, I mean, I think the meetings ran about an hour and a half longer because of their vocalization against the charter change. But one of the things they were most concerned about was that salaries were going to increase by a lot of money if the charter changed. And there wasn't any proof of that, really, because the commission at the time had graphed out the employees. And there was not going to be any huge increase. Now, there may have been a little bit of an increase because you had your city manager. But
they would have gotten rid of the deputy
commissioners. The deputies.
Which, I don't know. I
figure $80,000 times, $400,000.
Right.
Yeah.
But now the commission is talking about increasing the salaries for the deputies because they feel that they're not making enough. And the mayor has said, too, that she wants a substantial increase. Right now, she makes what everybody else does, $14,500.
Right.
And she wants the charter, the recent vote was to pay her $40,000. And she said recently that $40,000 is definitely not enough, that she would have to make more because she works 24/7, at least 52 hours a week. So, you know, we're going to see salaries go up probably with this change.
I don't know if the change passes. Yeah.
Yes. If it passes, right, because this will go to a vote in November.
Now, you know, I've always been under the belief in city politics is that you know what the job is when you're going into it. And if you go into it and you want to double your salary, well, I mean, you know, they commissioners have always been paid less because their deputies have been paid, you know, like I said, around $80,000 plus benefits and retirements. Yes.
Right.
But I know when my father was councilman, I mean, I think back then they only got $6,000, and this was back in the 80s, you know. But you really never get paid exorbitant when you're a council person or a commissioner. I mean,
right.
And you know, to want to increase your salaries and then increase your benefits. I mean, it's an elected position. You know, they want health insurance and retirement, and you just can't have that when you're an elected official, I think, in a city. I mean, especially, I think we faced two past budget deficits, and
yes.
I think we're on track to go for a third one.
Yeah, we're using up the fund balance.
Right.
And, of course, Michelle Madigan will tell you that's what that fund balance is for, to use it so we don't have to raise taxes. But there is a concern, what do you do once that fund balance is depleted?
Right. And I had mentioned to her one time, and of course, Michelle doesn't like criticism or to take, you know, a question. But I said, I think it's healthy to have a tax increase. If you had a 0.5% increase every other year, I mean, your benefits go up, your retirement plans go up. I said, they have a consumer index increase every so often, but you should have a tax increase. It doesn't have to be, especially in the shape we're in, it doesn't have to be 4 or 5 or 6%. It could be 0.5%, something, so you don't have that deficit.
That's correct, yes.
And I mean, because we need major things in Saratoga, and we're really not getting them. Our infrastructure is so bad; it's really pitiful. And as we were talking before the show, you can go down any street in Saratoga, and they're digging up roads. The water lines are so bad. And I think they're putting in new gas lines. The sewer lines are always breaking, and you know, we're getting to be an overused infrastructure.
Yes, right.
So we're gonna need that fund. I mean, and that fund balance isn't a lot of money. I mean, we're healthier than a lot of cities,
right.
But
right.
You know, I think it's what, 6 million, 7 million, something like that, and it doesn't last too long if you have a couple huge projects.
Right. And a lot of some of the money comes from the track,
mm-hmm.
and hotel bed tax.
Right.
And that hasn't been going up. That's sort of been flat for the last couple of years.
Sure.
Too. So that's another reason, you know, she's using the fund balance.
Because we haven't been making as
there
much.
There haven't been increases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it just bothers me. I mean, I'd be foolish to have our listeners think that, you know, they're surprised to hear me say this. But I think the city would be foolish if they voted for this charter change that's, you know, they're redoing our current charter. I think we missed the boat last time only by 10 votes, and I honestly don't even believe that it lost. I think we need a recount, unfortunately. It's
yeah, and I think that they should recount it only because it was so close.
Yeah.
I mean, most states have a law that says if it's this close, there must be a full count of every ballot. And New York State doesn't have that, unfortunately. But I think it would be give everybody peace of mind if all those ballots were recounted.
Right.
And they're still fighting for that.
Yeah, the county keeps turning it down.
They
do. Board of Elections.
But I don't think they will be able to much longer because of the Whitney versus Cosmeter up in Essex County. Which the commissioner there is for the Democratic
mm-hmm.
Party, the committee head, is foiling for ballots. And the Court of Appeals has said she has every right to foil for all the ballots, which is what the charter change advocates are looking to do in Saratoga County.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that see, I know it's a stall technique that they're doing down at the county. I mean, you know, when you had the county Republican committee chair donate over $1,000 to the group that was against the charter, and then you had the city committee donate money to the opposite group, and then you had one of the candidates who was a heavily favored candidate for public safety donate $500 out of his campaign fund, which really, I don't, you know, that surprised me, because yeah. I'd want my money back if I donated to his campaign.
Yes, yeah.
You can kind of get a general idea of why they won't let the ballot, they just don't want them recounted. But talking right. with the company that does the that has the computers, because mm-hmm. we vote by computer up here, is that 10 vote difference is within the range of the plus or minus, and that, you know, it really should call for a recount.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but like you say, I hope this current one fails, because then if it ends up that the court does allow the recount and it shows that we did indeed win, then that'll stay in effect. I think if this one passes, then that's not how it goes.
Yeah, but that'll override it. Correct.
Yeah, so we'll see. Now let's talk about, you talked about increased salaries, but there's some also things that were sent out, which seems to me to be a little bit, I just don't know how this group is operating. They sent out a survey. Now, when the commission for 2017 sent the survey out, they sent it out to every household. But this group didn't do that.
Well, you had to show up at the public forum to fill out the survey. So they had 14 survey responses. And it asked questions such as, how long should the terms be? If one of the supervisors should be eliminated and make the mayor a supervisor. So they had 14 responses. And most people think they should keep with the 2-year terms of
yeah.
all the commission members, and that the mayor should not have to be the supervisor as well, that we should keep our 2 supervisors.
Right. Well, because see, they're not running for office. You run for office here, even under this form, every 2 years, the money you have to spend, and you're constantly fundraising. It's 2-year terms are ridiculous. I don't care on what level of government or what, you know, I mean, it's just too yeah. expensive for an average person to run.
Exactly.
You know.
Well, and then they also surveyed city employees, certain city employees. And these are not anonymous
surveys.
So the employees had to probably tiptoe around what they were going to say on how to improve the government, because their names were attached to each of the surveys on how to improve things.
Right. And they can't, I mean, if they see a deficiency, they can't really say it, because then their boss and their commissioner and their deputy would come down on them for
it. Right. And some of the surveys came back that Michelle Madigan should have more to do with the finances, and that the finance, you know, for example, salaries, because right now salaries are negotiated through the mayor's office. That would
right.
be another thing taken from the mayor's office.
And that's ridiculous. I mean, because the city attorney works under the mayor. I mean,
right.
under the mayor's department. So they want to put it in the, well, I can see the, if they only had 14 respondents, they were probably from the finance commissioner's office, because she has one of the larger, I mean, other than
yep.
public works and safety, has a large department, and probably accounting, commissioner
well,
of accounts.
Did, yeah, they did ask everybody. 14 was for the public, and then the
14. 17 were for the,
the employees,
certain employees,
you know, like the city planner, they asked you know, the Matt Veach and DPW,
but why not get the employees to do it, like
anonymously.
They did last year. With you didn't have to sign your name. I mean, you could be more honest about what you see is wrong.
And I know.
I don't know.
And then they did ask certain, not all former mayors and commissioners and deputy commissioners to fill out a survey as well. And
yeah, not all mayors, because almost all the mayors were for charter change.
Yes, yeah. But Meg Kelly was one of the people they surveyed, and she wanted the terms to be longer because she said you just get used to being a mayor and then you have to run for office again.
Yeah, well, what I always thought was, I mean, if it's a newly elected person, I mean, it's going to take you, you got a learning curve. I don't care on what job you get, you have to have a learning curve. So let's say it's maybe 6 months. So for 6 months after that, you're in your position, you settle down, and then 2 months later, you have to start campaigning, even though you have the rest of that year, you have to start campaigning again to get reelected in that November. And I can't see how a person that's in a position can campaign the proper way to raise money, because, you know, it's going up and up, the amount of money, even in a city race. It's beyond me. Yeah. And I think there are people that are still living in 1930 that think the city is 8,000 people and, you know, the positions aren't as important as they are. I mean, this is we have a big budget. It's, we need people to oversee the city, you know, and we're not doing it.
Right. And the city is still growing. You know, they just had the recent census was out. You know, it grew another 5% in the last 8 years.
Wow.
So that's quite a bit.
It is. I mean, especially when we're running out of room to build things.
Yes.
And we're still growing. And, you know, they're just we're taking over every bit of green space that we have in the city, and we're just putting buildings, housing developments in.
And that's why the infrastructure is so important.
You're right, because they're tying into ancient infrastructure. I mean, it may be new from the building to the road, but from the road, that's where it ends.
Exactly.
Now, we had company last Saturday night, and we were having dinner, I'd say probably 7:30, and there was a knock on our door, and my wife got up, and I heard her talking to the lady, and she comes back. I said, "Who was that?" She said, "It was a real estate agent wanting to know if we wanted to sell our house or if we knew of anybody that wanted to sell in the neighborhood." And so then 3 days ago, I got a phone call from a real estate agent wanting to know if I wanted to sell my house or if I knew anybody that did. And I said, "No." I said, "What? We had somebody here Saturday night at 7:30. Why would people be going out that time of night asking to sell a house?" She goes, "Well, I want to tell you, we have more buyers than houses for sale."
I believe it.
And I said, "But you know what? Everybody that wants to buy a house wants to buy a new house." I said, "There's a lot of older homes for sale, but, you know, homes like that were built in the 70s and 60s and 70s. But people want to buy these new $500,000 homes, brand new." And, you know, so the housing market really shows, you know, that people want to move to Saratoga, but it's not your, you know, a lot of people can't afford to.
That's true.
And
you have to be a certain income level to move into Saratoga now.
Oh, yeah. And it's not a medium income.
No.
You know, it's sad what we've become. I mean, my kids can't even live in Saratoga.
Right.
Even to rent an apartment.
Yes.
It's hard.
It is. No, it's become a luxury city.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was on the Senior Center Board, statistics came out that said Saratoga Springs was becoming the highest city of seniors percentage-wise, and that the county was coming up to be the highest senior-populated county in the state. And I think we're seeing that because of a lot of retirees moving to Saratoga, because they can sell their house down in, just using as an example, Long Island, because we seem to be getting many downstaters moving up.
Yes.
And really, what's a $500,000 home to them? I mean, they're selling their homes down there. It's so expensive.
Yes.
So, but they're retired. And So I think we're becoming, a city that can't afford houses because of being a more senior community.
Yes, it's a graying community. Absolutely, for sure. There's every single new development going up is for seniors.
Yeah.
So
I got to keep dyeing my hair. No, I don't. Yeah. but no, it is. It's becoming a great community. And but anyway, that's, we have to put up with that and learn how to deal. But it does hurt the service industry, which is the major industry of Saratoga Springs. Agriculture still is the most, the biggest business sector of the county, but if you work inside the city, it's very hard. You can't live here, so you
that's
have
right.
to drive.
Especially for the hospitality workers.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for them.
And that's what we are, really, is a tourist city now.
Yes.
And we have a lot of hospitality workers. Yeah. So, well, we have to take our first public service break, and we'll be back more Wendy's Musings, can we put it? And that's what we'll name the show when you're on again, Wendy's Musings.
I like it.
Yeah, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to the Maya Miguel Challenge. Meet Maya and the gang.
Oh, hi, I'm Maya.
Maya and her friends want you to get up and play, because it's always more fun to be active.
Let's get started.
Just go to letsmove.gov and look for Maya and Miguel. You'll find tons of fun activities that'll help keep you healthy and active. Whether you play sports, run, dance, or jump in place, just get up and play at least an hour a day. Take the Maya and Miguel Challenge today at letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
This is Glenn Frey. The Eagles have been on tour all over the world, and it's always good to come back home. You should know that the rules for crossing the border are changing, and we want all of you who cross the border for business or for fun to be sure to have everything you need to get home efficiently. You can learn about your document options under the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative by visiting www.getyouhome.gov. Travel safe, have fun, and take it easy.
Okay, we're back, and we have Wendy Libertor on our show today called Wendy's Musings, and we're going to talk a little bit now, Wendy, that you've done some stories on ice in Saratoga.
Yeah, they've been back. They seem to come back every spring, and this year so far, I think they've only arrested two people. But there is concern over at the track for some of the backstretch workers. They, I've been told they see the big white suburban vans, and many people are either afraid to come up here from Belmont, or you know, or just try to lay low in the city if their papers are expired. That's not to say ICE is, you know, needs to be eliminated. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But,
well, you know, I think, and this has been on, I think, since the beginning of horse racing, basically, that a lot of some Mexicans and Argentinians and Costa Ricans, the South America, and are involved in horse racing. A lot of the jockeys come from Latino countries, and most because they're small and thin. Most Americans are maybe short but heavy. And one of the things with the backstretch workers is that they don't get paid very, very much. They live in squalid conditions, on mattresses. They sleep, if they even have those. Most of the time it's on hay. You know, their life is really horses. They get up very early in the morning and walk the horses, bathe the horses, and clean the stalls. But they're the responsibility of the trainer.
Yes, that's correct. The trainer has to make sure their papers are in order.
And pay them.
And pay them, yes.
And take care of them, and they don't do that.
Yeah. Some of them do and some of them don't.
Right. But, I mean, it's not, you know, but you wouldn't get anybody else to do that work that
no.
they do.
And they're too afraid to complain.
Right.
Because they could be deported if their trainer isn't keeping updated with their papers and, you know, paying them and providing them with what they need.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I know Mary Lou Whitney did an awful lot of good for the backstretch workers.
Yes.
As she has throughout the years. I mean, she's a very generous lady. But I don't think ICE really bothers them up here, do they?
Well, last year we found it interesting at the Times Union, because ICE came in, arrested a lot of people who were restaurant workers. And then as soon as the track opened, ICE sort of disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the track closed, ICE came back and arrested more restaurant workers. So we feel that the track, for some reason, might be insulated, that there might be some kind of deal that NYRA has made with ICE. Of course, this is pure speculation.
Right.
I would like
to think that I think they know the situation at horse tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they know that these people have a lousy job, but it has to be done. Otherwise, the industry itself would probably crumble. So that's why they probably leave the tracks alone. I mean, and then it's probably all over the country, not just in New York. I think they
perhaps
leave the backstretch workers alone, you know.
Well, but the restaurateurs and the farmers are pretty upset about that, because their
livelihood
right is also targeted. So, because a lot of the dairy farmers have people that lived on their farms for years that are now being arrested and taken away.
Why isn't it easier for the people that aren't here to get their papers updated or get a working visa so that they don't have to worry?
Yeah, apparently they do come in with a working visa, but they're supposed to go back to Mexico or wherever to get the updated.
Oh, okay.
And so then they don't go. According to immigration attorney I talked to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just too difficult to go back. It's too expensive for them.
Yeah.
So they don't go back.
Well, I know I had a friend that was in Kiwanis with me, an older fella, and their whole family lived in Israel. I mean, all their kids grew up and they moved to Israel. and he was in a position, he was vice president of a company that did a lot of business with the Israeli government. So he was over there quite a bit. But his wife would go over. They had an apartment over there. And she would go over, but she could only stay 6 months. Then she had to come back to the U.S. and stay for 6 months and a day. And then she could go back over there for five months and 30 days, let's say, or whatever. But, I mean, there are countries, I think, that you have to do, you know, if you want to become a permanent resident, you have to go through some sort of a ritual.
Right. There's a lot of hoops you have to go through.
Yeah.
And if you don't have any money and you don't speak English, it's more difficult.
It's hard.
Even if you have an employer that's willing to support you through the process, it can still be difficult.
Now, we had every 4th of July around the country at historic sites, they usually have a swearing-in ceremony for however many immigrants that have gone through their period of becoming a citizen. And this year, I think there were 75 at the battlefield. And they interviewed one of the fellas that became a citizen, and he had tears coming down, and he says, you know, I had to work to become a citizen, but now I'm an American. And he says, I don't feel, and he was a Latino, I don't know what, and he said, I don't feel sorry for these people that are coming in illegally, he said, because you can do it the right way. And so, I mean, you get both sides of the issue. It's a very, very bad issue. It's a bad situation. However, you know, we have laws. Open borders hasn't worked in any country that have had them. And I mean, over in Europe, they're in a terrible mess over there because of open borders. And, you know, once felons, so we went through this before when Castro emptied his prisons and mental institutions and said, okay, you want to go to America, you can go. And we had big problems in Florida. And, you know, I just feel that we're the land of immigrants, but you do it the right way. I mean, there are so many points of entry that they can come in legally on. But here again, you know, I'm paying you $5,000 to put me in a truck with a bunch of other people because it's an easier way to get through. They don't realize the dangers. And we don't hear how many people drown trying to get across the Rio Grande that don't make it.
Right.
And
apparently we have good laws now. I don't know why we have to toughen them, because I think that's the stance of the federal government. But,
right.
You know, we do, it's not open borders as... President would like us to believe that
right.
Anybody can walk in.
Right.
And so.
And I do think our immigration laws need to be updated.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're old, and right. I think we need to look at them. But,
and the dreamers are trapped.
Yeah, they are.
I don't
know
what the solution is there, but, you know, they're born in this country, but.
I know. And I mean, it usually
is. Brought here, I'm sorry.
They're brought
as
here.
But,
you
children.
Know, see, everything gets complicated because a lot of even the children that were taken away from their, quote, parents, and I don't know the percentage, so don't get me wrong, but a lot of those were brought over by adults that were going to sell these kids in human trafficking. And such. So that I think the program they started now is good, where they're taking a DNA test so they can match the child up. If the person claims that they're the parents, they'll give them back.
Right.
But then, you know, and if not, then what do you do with the children? All right. If they are, we're brought here.
It's a horrible situation.
It is.
And I don't know. I just feel like they hadn't had enough safeguards in place to be able to match, you know, first of all, to separate the children from their parents and then reunite them. It seems like reuniting is a bigger problem.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's not good. Even if there's a legitimate reason why they did it, it's not good. I mean, a documentation, because they say, well, if we arrested an American who had two children and no wife, we wouldn't put the children in prison with the father. So social service would have to take the children away from the father and put them through the system. I mean, it's a mess. That's all it is.
And that's putting it mildly.
I think what you have to do is hit a restart button. Is you let the dreamers stay. All right. If you have to grant amnesty to people, do it. But then you lock it down, and people have to come in the right way, or they're out.
Yeah.
But the way it is now, you have to hit a restart button. I think there's too many things that are going on that I don't think will ever be solved, and you got to stop it.
Right. Well, I think what happens too, though, is after you do that, you know, and I'm all for letting the dreamers stay. But 20 years from now, we'll have a whole bunch more dreamers, you know. So, it's a difficult problem, and I don't know how you solve it.
I know.
I really don't.
I know. Well, that's what I say. You reset right now, but then you make the laws about what's going to happen from here on out. And these are the rules that are going to happen. I mean, prepare yourself or... you know, people that come in will have a way of dealing with that, because we're changing the laws. But we don't have to worry about from what happened today past. Let that. I mean, you have to let it go. We gotta do it some way where we can start and keep a handle on it.
Yeah.
And there are no patchwork things we can do now to cure it. So I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Right.
You know, I don't want to put words in your mouth. We have a few minutes, so I'd like to talk about DPW for a minute.
Sure.
there's some things going on in that department that have been going on since February that if it was you or I, we would never be allowed to let it go on that long.
Right. Skip's son, Mark Scirocco, has been in trouble. He apparently has a DWI. We're not sure. I was told by the sheriff's department it was a misdemeanor. Therefore, that probably means he didn't have a previous DWI, but many people around the city believe that he had maybe more than 10 years ago. But so he works for DPW, and he has to drive for his job. So we're trying to figure out what's going to happen with Mark Scirocco if he loses his job. Right now, Commissioner Skip Scirocco has a driver for his son, so he can still continue his work as a water meter reader, and he also repairs the water meters as well.
But he's chauffeured around.
He's chauffeured around by another meter reader.
Okay.
So.
Pretty neat. Boy,
yeah.
I'll tell you.
And he's back in court on July 17th in Milton.
Okay.
So we'll see if he loses his license. Skip will either have to find another job for him or continue having a chauffeur for his son.
And the only thing about that is I think there were four counts that he was charged with. I mean, his blood alcohol level was 0.18, which is very high.
Yes.
And then it was aggravated assault, I think, driving in the wrong lane, and I forgot what the other one was, but he was charged with four.
There was other violations. Driving violations, yeah.
And then I heard where his girlfriend came to pick him up with their child, and she was arrested for DWI.
Yes, she was. She was arrested in the city.
Yeah.
Mark was arrested in Milton, and then, his fiancée, they're now married, arrested in Saratoga Springs because she had, and hers was a felony DWI because she had a child in the car, which was Mark's son.
Right.
So that was some night for the Scirocco family.
I guess so.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. So both of them are having issues with their license.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that, one of the things that bothers me is, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people that get DWI, and they have to answer to that. They caused it themselves. I mean, I'm sure nobody poured alcohol down his throat against his will, but, it, you know, he's a city worker, and there should be some kind of statutes in there that if you are found guilty of DWI, especially at that level, and you lose your license, you would have to be terminated from the workplace and not be chauffeured around.
Right. Well, the safety...
the risk and management?
Yes, risk and management will not let him continue to drive if he is convicted.
Yeah. See, I thought that in the beginning this should have gone to Marilyn Rivers, the risk and safety manager, right off the bat because of the conflict of interest. I mean, I don't think Skip, as the father of the, and head of the department, should have been able to make decisions on what to do with his son. It should have gone to risk and management because I think she's also the human resource person.
Yes, that's correct.
And let her take it over because of the conflict, but that didn't happen.
No. Skip had the ultimate say, and it was his son, and he was going to make sure his son could continue to work. And what he'll do next, if he's convicted, is he might find him a desk job, perhaps, in DPW.
Yeah.
So we'll know on the 17th, though.
And that's, today, 40, 50, that's
Tuesday night. Tuesday morning, actually.
Tuesday 9
a.m. he will be in court.
So they don't even have it at night time.
No, it's,
9 in the morning.
In front of Judge Brown.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Yes.
Yeah. And the goings on in Saratoga just continue to multiply.
Yes.
The track opens on Friday. We have 2 minutes. The track opens on Friday. And as we know, they raised the prices.
Yes, they raised the prices, and people are pretty upset about the day prices. They feel that NYRA is pushing them into buying season passes, and people aren't happy about it.
Right.
But the track will still get thousands upon thousands of people, especially if Justify runs.
Sure. Well, you know, the thing, though, in support of NYRA, which I don't support, they do offer the passes where you can buy at the Stewart's or that.
Yes.
For the season. And $40, I think, where you can get in every day for general admission for $40 rather than $7 a day. I think people should take advantage of that. And then I think it's $60 for an admission into the clubhouse every day, where the daily price is $10. They raised it to $10.
Yes.
So if I was planning on going to the track more than and going to the clubhouse more than six times during the meet, I'd buy a pass because you could get in every day if you wanted
to. Right, that's what some people are complaining about, though. They think it should be much lower to get into the clubhouse, and so they can go four or five times and only pay $35.
See, if it was me, I'd let people in for nothing. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think the rationale for NYRA was that, you know, it's a sports venue, and other sports venues you go to, they charge good prices to go. And for $10, where else can you go? But the problem is, if you go to a ball game, you're not spending all your money during that day. But you go to the track, you're paying to get in, and you're still paying to wager on the races.
Yes,
so
exactly.
I'd rather have them come in for nothing and let them spend that money on
that's
the wagering, you know.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, well, but I'm only a lowly security guard there, and I'm not in the management, so.
Well, hopefully I'll see you at the track, right?
I hope so. Hey, listen, I want to thank everybody for being with us, especially Wendy, and I always love it when she's on. This is our last show until the Saturday after Labor Day. I'll be up at the track. And if you're up there, come on up and see me. I'm at the press box stairs in the clubhouse right at the finish line. Just go up the stairs, stop by and say hi. And you have a great summer and a safe one. And we'll see you in September. You know, they should make a song.
Yeah.
I'll see you in September.
Another great idea.
That's right. And I wanted to talk to you, and we didn't get a chance, about the ballet. But we're going to do that in the fall.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, everybody, you have a great one.